Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so truly happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, a little background on the podcast. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. My mission is to expand that quote-unquote societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So I've created this space so that I can get to talk to people that have all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have had the honor to have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13, handwriting specialist, biologist, personal organizer, doctor, lawyer, and so many more. And the idea is that by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing all of this and incorporating it into your world daily, I promise you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So, let me introduce my inspiring guest for today is Hayden Starbuck. Hayden is a creatrix and creativity coach. She helps people step into their creative flow by shifting their relationship to blocks, inner and outer critics, and the dreaded inner perfectionist. She delights in sharing her passion, especially helping people explore and honor their unique voices. She believes that the world would be a healthier place if we all tapped into our individual creative magic. Hayden, welcome to the space.
Welcome.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Wow. My intro sounds great. I want to meet me. It's always funny when you hear them back, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's like, wow, she's pretty inspiring. Wow.
Damn.
Let's at her go. Play.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wonderful. So Hayden, so after reading that amazing bio, why don't you give us a little bit more of a backstory on you? What would you like to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Oh, holy cow. Well, I mean, we're all born creative, right? We just have to develop a relationship with it over time. And I think my story is like everybody's. I explored creativity. I got beaten down by society. I got back up. I got beaten down again. You know, we each have to find our own way. But somewhere in college, I decided, oh, forget this whole idea of a 9-to-5. I want to play. I want to be a creative person. So I leaped.
So you did that in college. You leaped in college.
I leaped in college. It was a slow leap. Picture slow-mo. I you know, took my time and made sure I was comfortable and my T's were crossed and my I's were dotted. But I've been earning my living as a creative for the last 25 years or so. Mm-hmm. So I did it.
Yeah, you did it, man. Woohoo! Go you.
Oh my gosh.
But actually in saying, could you expand on, so when you said society beat you down, what was that in your story? What did that look like?
You know, the one that's coming up for me a lot lately is I loved to sing as a kid. I mean, you know how it was, top of the lungs, dance around, just that freedom of expression. And, you know, a few well-placed comments about she's out of tune or I don't even remember what they said now, but it was enough that it was like, okay, I'm just going to stop singing. Mm-hmm. And that's the saddest thing, especially that's your voice. That's how you show up in the world every day. And it's really sad to have that, to make the choice to let somebody else's opinion about your joy matter. So yeah. Let's just like not do that, people. Let's get over that.
Let's just stop.
Let's just stop that.
That's it's funny that you say that because we've kind of, my daughter and I more so have like rediscovered that. When I was kind of in my funk of being in my business head workspace where I wasn't feeling the best, And now we drive and put on music and sing at the top of our lungs, sounding so bad. But that's like, that's the point. And it's so funny because when my husband is driving with us, we do it and he just kind of comes out. He can see me in the back, especially like these passion songs, like these breakup songs, which I can't remember the one that they give. So he's in the back, just kind of like, what is going on?
He should join you, you know, and he offer should. That other voice.
Exactly. Oh. We're like, what is your problem? Why aren't you singing along? And he's just like shaking his head.
You just have to set a good example when he sees how much fun you're having. One day, he's going to break out into song. He won't be able to help himself.
But I love what you said. I think it's really true. And I think it's really a huge part. It's kind of like you don't need to go to school to learn this, but, you know, going for the master's in art education, all that kind of stuff, whatever. But having the teaching experience anyway, I learned, like, you do not, one, touch anybody else's paper or work that they're creating. You don't alter it in any way without asking permission first in any way, if that were necessary. Usually I always do something on the side and say, this is an example of something. You do it in your own, your translation, if you need that visual. Perfect. But just within that, it's not like you have to learn that somewhere, but apparently you do in a lot of ways, because there are many teachers too that would say things and it's kind of like, oh, and when you say those flat out statements, like, that work is beautiful. It's like, what does that mean? Like when a kid shows you something and your response is that's beautiful, all you have to do is what I've incorporated into my vocabulary, you know, being a teacher and all that, is I really like the way you use the blue in that picture.
Yes.
And then it just gives that jumping point for them to tell their story instead of beautiful. And if you don't say beautiful next time, then they're like, well, I guess that sucked because it's not beautiful.
And even beautiful is a judgment statement. You know, maybe the kid was going for a really angsty piece about zombies and you just said it's beautiful. That's not the point.
Right. So, exactly.
You know, I like the way you used that black, the really dark. What does it mean to you? Why did you do that?
Mm-hmm. It's all in asking the questions, right?
Mm-hmm. Opening that portal so that they can say, hey, look, this it's safe. This person is willing to, you know, provide me with a safe space to take one more step.
Yeah. Yeah, wonderful. It's life-changing. It's life-altering.
Well, and it filters into everything. I mean, it's not, creativity isn't just one little pinpoint. It's everywhere. It flows through everything.
So. Okay. So we're going to have a great conversation. So let's start let's start with our little would you rather question first.
Oh boy, here it comes.
Here it comes. Da-da-da. Okay. So Hayden, would you rather have a magic carpet or your own personal robot?
Oh my God. Thank you for an easy one. A magic carpet, of course. I'm sure robots are great, but think of the places you could go and the different perspective, you know? Can you fly upside down on them too? That would be fun. Do loop-de-loops. You don't have to stand in line for the roller coaster at the park. No, magic carpet. Oh my gosh. And you could nap while you're floating. Yeah, no, magic carpet, hands down.
I love all those fun things that you said. Oh. Wow. Yeah, you could go upside down as long as there was, as long as that was possible. Yeah, but anything is possible.
It's magic.
It's magic. It's a magic carpet. There's the word. Yes. Oh. It would kind of freak me out to have a robot.
What would it do? You picked two things. You picked one that's very soft and flowy and kind of fun. And you picked one that in my mind is very solid and stiff and hard. Mm-hmm. So hands down, I'm going to go with this flowy, smooth, softy thing. No R2-D2s.
There we go. I don't know why that sounded funny, but this softy, smoothy thing just sounded funny. Okay. So Hayden, first question. to kick off this great conversation. How do you define creativity?
And I just want to say for everyone in the audience, this is, she just starts off, you know, deep, because that, it's a big question, right?
Yeah.
I'd never really stopped to think about it until I met you. So it's there. Obviously I'm a creative person, but I never really analyzed it. So let's see what I came up with. Creativity to me is, it's about finding your own way in the world, because we go to school, and I'm hoping schools have changed since I went a little while ago. But they teach you how to be a certain way so that you fit in with society. They teach you the rules of engagement. They teach you the history of some, you know, mass consciousness, whatever. But what about what you want? What about your way? What about how you would like to do things? And so creativity for me is just, it's kind of just being yourself and honoring that and finding a different way. For instance, I'm a creative person. So if I always do something one way, maybe tomorrow I should do it another way. That will give me a different perspective. That'll open up new vistas, new opportunities. So creativity is flexibility and expression.
Ooh, flexibility and expression.
And so much more.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the things you're touching on with school, I mean, I think it depends on what kind of school per se, like if it's a Montessori school or, you know, a Waldorf kind of school where they have a very hands-on approach where it's very student-led and student interest with structure. There's a lot of open-endedness and exploration. And then there's the traditional classroom setting.
That's where, what I'm referring to.
But that also depends on the teacher and how much flexibility that they can have within the space. Because I met so many amazing teachers that really could reach the kids in so many incredible ways because of hands-on experiences and just a lot of collaboration and connection and having them really be individualized. But then there's the other side of it where we were just having this conversation like with my son, and he was just like, why don't we teach like the real things that you need in life? Like how to balance, like these certain classes say that they offer life skills, but it's, you know, how to really balance, you know, figure out how much money you have in your account, how to pay your bills, how to look at a, you know, any kind of like agreement that you could be looking at either for a car or for a house, or like to really look at that stuff and understand it.
Well, even, and I went to an art program through a university, so hopefully art schools are better, but even going through art, they didn't teach you what to do with it. They taught you how to do it, but they didn't teach you how to go out in the world and be an artist, be successful. And come on, that's big. We don't have to be starving artists. You know, we just need to be educated artists.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. To be educated artists. So what would you have done if you were going to do something differently? What would you have done? How would you have implemented that? Just curious.
Well, I mean, what I did do is I went and just sort of apprenticed myself to people. I went and worked for a bunch of artists. So I learned about doing art shows and owning a gallery and hanging a show in a gallery. I just went and apprenticed myself with as many people as I could. And luckily most of those were paying gigs. So, and even learning, I became a silversmith, and even learning that wasn't offered in my school, which now, oh my gosh, some high schools have silversmithing. Oh, I'm so happy for these kids.
Yeah.
So I learned on the job by working for a silversmith.
So. Yeah. Another really good point. I totally agree. The hands-on experience is really where you learn the most.
Well, and if you're a creative, if you're a creative person too, that whole book learning thing, it's nice, but I need to get in there. I need to see it done and I need to do it. Mm-hmm. That's how I learn.
Yeah. Totally agree. And let's go into a little bit more about the word curiosity. I want to hear more of your thoughts on the word curiosity.
Ah, so I've just recently decided that curiosity is creativity's best friend. Because if you're not curious about something, then I don't know. You're just a lump of clay, which has its own excitement to it. Never mind. That was such a bad example. I was going to say everything I can think of has potential. Curiosity, it's like that spark, you know, that gets you interested in something and gets you exploring it and making it yours, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that spark. It's that interest that leads kind of you into the, from one, yeah, I was going to say rabbit hole, but it kind of takes you from one thing to another. I don't know if it's rabbit hole per se, but it's like, what is that? And then you stumble on that and you're like, oh, okay, either like that or don't like that. And then just kind of keep going or stop. Absolutely. And then find something else. It's
well, and I think the dictionary says something about it's this desire to learn. So if you have a desire to learn and explore something, and if you have a magic carpet, that's even better. then you're, it's a playfulness, right? I mean, creativity, curiosity, for me, they're both really playful. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't like that?
Yeah. So actually, but in saying that, do you think that there's fear related to that? Would you say that?
For me, no, because I've worked through it. But I would say because a lot of times society kind of expects or wants you to be small and fall into place and all that, that I would say there's some fear of going out and doing your own thing and following. I mean, you might be curious about something that is completely foreign to everybody around you. And so there's a little fear in stepping out. So yeah, I think anytime somebody pushes their boundaries and goes for some expansion, that's bound to come up a bit.
Yeah. I would say
that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, and that probably tells you that you're on to something, you know?
Which is another good point, because I personally think that fear is like a number one. I mean, that's like underline that a million times, because I think that stops people, whether it's fear of, well, is it going to make me money? Fear of, well, what are other people going to think? Fear of, am I really good enough? Like, do I really have enough experience at that? Like a lot of fears that come up that even though there's that curiosity and that excitement, that fear gets in the way and often puts that kibosh on whatever that is.
So the thing that's coming up for me, and I've been, you know, this has been a whole, a pandemic of fear. We've had plenty of time to look at fear this past year. I think that you need to look at why the fear is there. I totally lost my thought, but it's ridiculous. It's not real. I guess I should say that. It's just not, it's a figment of your imagination. So what if you just changed what you imagine? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It holds you back in ways that it's not real.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if your car is going off a cliff and you're about to crash, okay, yes, your fear is real. But if it's just taking a chance on a new medium or dating somebody new or taking a new job that feels a little out of your comfort zone, go for it, people.
That's in simple. There we go. Okay, podcast over.
Just go for it. I mean, you can't. You know, I obviously you don't want to deathly injure yourself or something, but if it's just you playing, if imagine life is like this big buffet, just sample, yeah. You know, you can change your mind.
And that is a very big thing. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to screw up. It's going to happen. It's inevitable.
That's how you learn.
That's the only way. How many times? You just screw up multiple times a day.
Yeah,
but
that's how you learn.
That's the only way you learn. You have to have that contrast to see what you don't want in order to see what you do want, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I just, for some reason, thought of this random story of, so I major fear of elevators, gotten a lot better, but thinking of that word fear, elevators scare me. It's claustrophobia and just being lifted in this space and then getting stuck. So I remember we were in an airport elevator that was crammed and we got stuck and we were in it for a period of time. And there was a priest, and we looked at him. He's like, he goes, "Don't look at me."
Wow. A priest and an artist were in an elevator. It's an opening to a joke. What are the odds that there's a priest in your elevator?
Yeah, I just remember him very clearly saying, "Don't look at me."
Oh my God.
It's like, okay, my fear is happening. It's come to fruition.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the thing is too, if you face your fears, oftentimes, oh my gosh, I'm not going to mention names, so I think I can say this. I had a client who had an inner critic that was just this big, bossy, loud, obnoxious personality. So we did a visualization and she met her inner critic and it turned out to be this little teeny weeny yappy chihuahua. it was like nothing. So there's a garbage can nearby. This is all a visualization. She opened up the garbage can, stuck the little yappy chihuahua inside and closed the lid. Problem solved. So sometimes fear is, if you actually face it, it's not quite what you imagine it to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that whole like Napoleon syndrome thing. Like it's this little thing that needs to be held. And yeah. And like that chihuahua, yeah.
And too, if the fear, the seed of it is from when you were a little tiny kid, when your life was super, super simple, but it took up a big portion of your experience, then, you know, if you haven't dealt with it through all the years, by the time you get to be an adult, it doesn't necessarily have the importance it did as a kid, but it's still really big because that's your experience. So face your fears.
Yeah.
Someday I'll jump out of an airplane, but in the meantime, I'll fly around on my magic carpet or do indoor skydiving. I'm not quite ready to jump out of an airplane yet, but I will. I will do that at some point.
So is that, I'm guessing that's like one of your top fears.
Yeah, well, it's the ultimate trusting the universe, isn't it? You know, you just jumped out of a plane. You could go splat. But imagine the view. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's probably up there. But letting go, releasing, and just letting go. That's a big one.
Yeah. I was just speaking with a really good friend today who a few years ago, her son passed away. He was in his later 20s. And, but she's, you know, she's just this amazing person and she has her own business that she started and she gets, you know, visits from him. And she said, what's just so incredible about it is that what she's really come to realize is that, you know, for her, this is her belief. It's almost like life is like this simulation where, you know, you're doing things and she gets these visits from him where he's basically like, just do it. Like, stop messing around. Like, stop playing so small. Mm-hmm. But in this idea of the simulation, it's very freeing. It's like, there's that playfulness. There's this, okay, we're doing this. That worked. It didn't work. Okay. So what? Move on. It takes the pressure off of life.
Well, I think the thing is that so many people take things so seriously, but go stare at a night sky on a clear night and realize just how insignificant you really are. Oh my God, I can't pay my bills this month. Go look at the stars in glacial time. Does it matter? You know, in this moment, yes, of course it matters a lot, but we take things really seriously.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where disease comes from. That's where disease comes from.
Oh yeah. My mom killed herself with cancer because she spent years saying, I want to die. I want to die. And then she got to the point where the cancer was going to kill her. And she's like, I don't want to die. It's like, God, you know, mom, you should have thought about that. What, 15 years ago when you started this mantra inside your head? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know what? Tell us about, so you mentioned one of your clients, so you do creativity coaching, correct?
Yes, I help creatives if they are having trouble with work-life balance or overwhelm, you know, if they have trouble with everything that we all have trouble with at some point or another, just to get things flowing and moving and get that perspective back to the point where you can show up to work. Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like when you're going through sessions in general? Like, do you do a lot of hands-on stuff with them? Is it a lot of talking? Is it a lot of visualization? Is it, I don't know, give us like a
you
little.
Know, it's so different. Everybody has, and I think this is where I had trouble with public school. Everybody has such a different way of processing and mm-hmm. getting to the point where they get results, that I just have to be flexible. Some people are more word people. Some people are more experiential. This one woman turned out she was really somatic, and she didn't really have a relationship with her body. So to really spend time kind of being aware of how things feel opened up a whole world to her that just fabulous, you know. She's going to go out into the world and be a different person because she now has a relationship to this thing we walk around in. Mm. This little simulated avatar in your simulated game.
I have to say, I hate to just use the word, but that is a beautiful story yeah. in the sense of, you know, because it is true. Everyone has yeah. a different way of processing information. And I think in yeah. anything that we do in the workplace, in life, in our relationships, it's being that having that awareness is key.
Yeah, that's huge. Absolutely. Well, and I think for her, she probably had somebody shut down her physical stuff when she was younger. And I don't really go into people's past. That's whatever we're dealing with now. The mm-hmm. problems arising now. So like me getting my voice shut down, she probably had something physical happen and it just continued through her life. And now she's like, hey, my body, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm showing up for me. So God. Yeah, it's exciting.
How exciting and freeing is that?
Right? No, it's God. Beautiful to watch people blossom.
There was somebody that I went to, an energy healer that I went to a little while ago. This stuff is, I mean, I've always believed in this stuff, but just the story always like fascinates me. I sat down, you know, next to her and she goes, what happened to you when you were 7? Like, who told you that thing that you just have been holding on to? I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, I use that story all the time in every professional development that I do, mm-hmm. that I lead, because my second grade teacher told me to marry a rich man because I couldn't count money.
And you chose to carry that around.
And you know? That she told me that when I was in my 40s. And she's like, you got to let that the hell go. I'm like, I know.
I think I had a really rare opportunity to witness what the brain does. I was a full-time caretaker for a family member that had dementia. And her brain came down to maybe 10 stories throughout her life that she would repeat over and over. And the thing about these stories that had so much importance to her, I mean, she's in her 80s and she remembers something from, you know, when she's a kid, mm-hmm. but the stories she was telling were situations that happened in like a minute, 2 minutes, you know, they were moments in time, but they became so big in her brain and in her perception of who she was that that's what she got distilled down to in her 80s with dementia. And I was like, okay, lessons here.
Yes.
You know, watch what you carry around. It's some of that baggage is heavy.
Yeah.
And oh limiting. My God. Mm-hmm. Totally limiting.
Mm. I'm writing that down.
Can you count money now? Have you figured that out?
I've counted it, yes.
But, 1 million, 2 million,
exactly,
3 million.
Exactly. But there's the feelings around it. And it's so funny because, you know, I'll say it as a joke because when I use it as in a professional development, I'm like, who's told you something that has shut you down? Like, you weren't good at, you know, mm-hmm. that the that elephant shouldn't have been purple or shouldn't have done mm-hmm. this. You know, this is my story. And, you know, people raise their hand and share their stories. It's like, when you face it, I used to be so scared. I would turn every shade of purple just if somebody looked at me, like, and I was, mm-hmm. I was so shy. So what I do, I became a teacher. Like I became, let's put myself in front of people. I didn't know I was going to be a teacher. But
oh, you're my kind of girl. I love it.
It kind of just happened. And then it got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm good around kids. So if it happens, now you want me to teach adults? Seriously? Like what if this happens? Like what if I, so then I got to a point, I'm like, look, if I turn multiple shades of purple, I'm not having a heart attack. It's just something that happens. So let's just move on. And then yeah. we laugh and then it's done. So it's been a process, but it's again, kind of that whole fear thing, but then also holding on to the story of this is what happened when I was younger and it's going to keep me. Well, since it happened when I was younger, that's the way it's going to be for the rest of my life.
Right. Well, and I love that when you would tell your students that I'm going to turn purple and let's just move on, because that gives them permission to look at their stuff and go, hey, just a moment in time. It's just part of my makeup. Let's move on.
Just a moment. Honor it,
and move on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's time? Oh my God, there's a whole other conversation. You know, time is this like weird thing we get so hung up on, and we need to get over ourselves.
That's simple. Oh my gosh. So I want to say thank you to the person who is, for the people that are on live. Thank you so much for being here. Please feel free to put any comments or questions in the chat box so we can see them. And anybody listening to the replay, please, this is gold.
1 million, 2 million.
It is. Oh my God. Okay.
So did you marry, for my own sake, did you marry a rich husband?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
Not at this point. Works in progress.
Way to rebel against advice from a fourth grade teacher.
Second grade.
Oh God.
But we're a work in progress all the time.
Always. You never know what's going to happen. So just go play, go enjoy yourself.
Just go play. So
yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
So who foresaw a global pandemic? I mean, come on, raise your hands. Who foresaw that? You know, we don't know what's around the corner. So enjoy your lives, you know, enjoy yourself.
We were just saying when we were driving back from someplace yesterday, there's the traffic again. And it's like, oh my God, I so don't miss this. I do not miss this. It's not good for the environment either. The earth was so happy when things were quieter. Not saying that there should be a state of fear and sickness, and not standing on this platform and saying that in any way. Just mm-hmm. saying the observation and the acknowledgement of certain things that we do make bigger. And the whole pollution thing and the whole stress of people again honking at each other and rushing mm-hmm. and it's like kicking in again.
I think so. There's something about creativity. I think it's okay if we stop once in a while and reevaluate how we live our lives and the decisions we make. It's okay to do that. And it should be done. I think we're kind of overdue for it, which is, yeah, hopefully we learned something in this pandemic.
I think it's really important to do that. And I think it's also very important to, in reevaluating and also consciously changing up routines. Mm-hmm. You know, they say when you feel like nervous or when you're feeling stuck or whatever, move the furniture, you know, mm-hmm. change the pictures around on the wall, change your morning mm-hmm. routine, or create a morning, you know, more of a routine that makes you happier.
And then change it.
Yeah, like change it. My husband changes it. Like he's very disciplined in this morning routine that he creates, but he changes it every month.
Oh.
Where, and he'll be off for like a day or two and after the change. But it's like a reset.
Oh, interesting. I have no routine. I've been self-employed for so long and... You know, I don't know. I just, nope, no routine. And well, I'm okay with that.
There could be some routine in the no routine. Like, do you get up? Do you drink something?
Absolutely. Okay, my routine is tea in the morning and my dog. And that the rest is negotiable.
Yeah, there we go. So then that's a perfect segue into the second question of how do you incorporate creativity into your life?
I mean, I don't think it ever goes away. It's not like it sits in a little box and I get it out for holidays. It's always there. So if, like talking about routines, if I feel yucky or if I feel stuck, if I feel like something's not going the way I want, yeah, shift, do something different. Wear another color. Go stand on top of something. Go lay under something. You know, it's just about getting out of my own way, basically, so that I can open up to possibility and potential instead of being closed off. So I try and put it in every single part of my life that I possibly can.
Is there something, do you like traveling? Do you like cooking? Do you like reading? Do you like playing games? Do you like riding bikes? Do you like, is there something that you really,
things I would say probably the biggest thing for me is I've always done this, but because of the last year, it really came back to me how much this has to be part of my DNA. I love walking through nature with my dog, which is fine, but he can come or not. He's fun. But with a camera, and just looking at things happen, you know, like right now, spring, everything's bright green. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, bright green. There's flowers and the pollen's going, so I'm rubbing my nose, but you know, it's just, there's all this growth and this abundance and eagles overhead. I mean, there's just always, when I go out into nature, one, it feeds my soul, but two, there's always something to discover. It's that kid curiosity thing coming up. You know, it's the best thing ever. So I would not be able to sit in traffic on a freeway. I will be in nature with my camera, and y'all can have that whatever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the smells and the sounds and the immersion. Well,
and it varies. The smell in the summer when it's dry versus the smell in spring when it's really wet, and the different bird songs because the birds migrate, and the frogs, you know, when they're all going, hey, over here, free sex, you know, whatever they're saying. it's just the best.
Yeah. Well, it's when we've been going on our walks, it's kind of like these, in California, they call them like paseos, like these pathways through neighborhoods. And we live on the East Coast, but we have something like that, these paseos that are kind of like the pathways through the neighborhood. And there's just the smell of honeysuckle.
Oh.
Which I just keep stopping. It's like I'll be walking with my son or my husband, and I'm just like, just stop. You have to smell this. Like, I can't breathe it in deep enough. It's like, oh my God, it's so good.
Well, it's a full sensory. I mean, it brings you here now, you know, just goosebumps.
Yeah. And I like what you said about the camera. The camera is like this thing. Isn't it amazing? It's what you see through that lens. Mm-hmm. It's so personal because two people could be looking at the same thing, but not be zooming in the same way or zooming out or.
Absolutely.
It's all about perspective, right?
Totally. And I had a really bizarre experience because I grew up, I think photography is one of my first mediums. My dad was a photographer. So that just kind of got passed down. But I really thought that somehow, because I was shy too, and I probably still am, but there's something that I always felt like the camera kept you at a distance from things. So you're not, like if you're at a party, but you're taking pictures, you're not actually in the party partying. you're outside. So I always thought the camera kept you a little bit away, except in nature where, of course, it's very intimate. But I took photos for a festival. I was the photographer for a festival recently. And, okay, not so recently, pre-pandemic.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'm not going to really be able to participate in the festival the way I like. It's going to be very different. And what I realized was, yes, of course, it's different. I'm doing a job. But because I was holding a camera and these people had all given me permission to take pictures of themselves, they had a choice not to if they wanted, but I was able to walk into what they were experiencing and kind of join them in their moment. And if I was just in the group by myself, no camera, I would kind of be doing my own thing and I'd be in my own space and there'd be interaction, but it would be very different. There was something about the camera and them giving me permission that just brought the intimacy. They shared their lives with me in a way. And it was the most beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful that I don't know that I'll ever do it again, but it was beautiful to do it.
Yeah, I think what you're saying about photography and capturing those moments, it kind of goes back to what we were talking before, kind of like being in the moment. And that's the idea of what is time, really. But capturing those little stories, those little little or big moments, because they could be bigger moments. I mean, what if you're photographing a wedding or a funeral or whatever? It's capturing those expressions and something that not everybody can see. Because if you're at a party and there's 100 people at the party, not everybody is seeing each other, but you're seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah. And even at a wedding, because I did photograph a wedding that same summer. Yes, there's this big thing going on, but you are looking for those expressions or like the fact that the whole wedding party had Converse shoes on, you know, so that's a little thing, but it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of creativity is and curiosity is that you really tap into, or the honeysuckle, you know, you really tap into something that in the big picture is small, but it's so powerful. And that connection is, it's yummy.
It is. Oh my gosh. Because it's just in you saying, and them all wearing Converse shoes is a personality thing.
Exactly.
That's a whole, I mean, my daughter for her, and she's going to do it again for her senior graduation, but at her eighth grade graduation, she wore her dress with her sneakers. And actually at her bat mitzvah, she wore sneakers with her dress because she's like, I'm not a heel person.
Mm-hmm.
So that just, it kind of shows it's somebody's personal expression. It's individualized.
Absolutely. And how boring would the world be if we were all the same? If the world was full of me, I'd just forget it. No, thank you. I love the variety, you know?
It's true. So funny. And if my next door neighbor is ever listening to this, we laugh about it because we are so different. She wears heels everywhere she goes, except when she's exercising. And I wear these ugly slip-on shoes, you would say, or sneakers. And one day she looked at me. She's like, are those the only shoes you have? I'm like, oh, God. And I'm just like, how do you walk in heels? Like, I just want to understand. Because she came over one day to pick up something because she was borrowing food. Not that everybody needs to hear all this, but she came to the door. I'm like, where are you going? And she goes, nowhere. I'm like, you're just dressed like that?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, which is amazing because it's this celebration of this is how I want to be. And this is how I want to dress. And this is what makes me feel good. And that it comes in all different packages, you know?
Yeah. I have a friend that's always so nicely put together. I mean, she's just beautiful. So we owned a shop together and we were going to have a painting party one day. And I thought, yes, this is the day I'm going to see her in her grubbies. No, she showed up in her, you know, probably what she considered her grubbies, looking better than I do most days. I love her for that. You know, she puts it together. She's classy. And if you're listening to this, Marlene, it's you. Oh, but I love it because she does. I mean, I don't know what she wears to bed. She's probably well-dressed in bed too, but she just always looks good. And I look forward to seeing that because it's this sweet thing that she's doing it for herself, obviously, but it's this sweet thing that's also a gift to me. And thank you. I like gifts. Mm-hmm. When's my magic carpet coming? It's in the mail, right? I mean, my address is...
I knew it. When I pick these, it's just kind of like, it just resonate with people. It's like literally it's this gut instinct of which ones did I pick.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Thank you. But I think it's just recognizing differences is just huge, you know, just kind of, yeah.
It's magic and it's beautiful. I mean, if we can sit back, if everybody got kind of over their fear thing and they were like showing up as safe as they feel, showing up as authentically as they could, and the world wasn't really crappy, they create an environment where it's safe. How beautiful would the world be? I just think overall we'd all be healthier, we'd be happier, and it would be so pretty. You know, it would be fun. I would love to see people shining. That would make me very happy. So
I think that's what, yeah, the whole shining part, it always sounds cheesy when it's like, oh, I love seeing that light bulb moment. But I truly do love seeing that light bulb moment. It's really that, it's not even just a light bulb. It's a physical posture change. When I've seen people become... sometimes it's that slower process, but when it kicks in, like I literally saw this one eighth grader who, very tough girl, very tough situation. She was very argumentative. She'd break out into fights if she was in class. We were doing this project and she said to me, you know, I just don't understand. Like she wasn't grasping it. And I said, you know what? It's right when you get that feeling in your stomach, that's like that butterfly feeling. Like when you get that feeling, that's when what you're looking for is going to be right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, does that make sense? She's like, okay. So I went in front of the class. I was just introducing what we were doing and we're about to get started. And I looked over at her and her physical posture changed. She all of a sudden sat up straight and she smiled. And I looked at her and I said, did you get it? And she said, yes. Aww. And I was like, that's it. Like that is the beauty.
Okay. So when she gets really old and hopefully never gets dementia, but she's going to remember that moment. You gave her a gift that is so much bigger than something negative. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. But one hopes, it's kind of like almost that whole thing of having the camera. That was my lens and that's what I saw. Mm-hmm. I hope, I don't know. That could have been like a little thing in her where maybe she doesn't think twice. Like who knows? But I feel good about that.
I feel like because you acknowledged seeing it, that she's going to, you know, take that a bit deeper. It's like, yeah, I do feel that. Now she knows what it feels like and she's going to want more. I mean, feeling happy is kind of this, I'm not really into a lot of drugs, so I don't know the big happy drug, the addictive one, but happiness is like that. It's like once you know what it feels like to be happy, you kind of don't want to feel crappy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to feel unempowered. You want to feel empowered. You know, you want the good feelings. So I think you totally gave her a gift.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But it's kind of like when we realize our why, like, why are we here? It's like you taking the leap in college, the slow motion leap, but taking the leap nonetheless to get those, because a lot of times it doesn't get going until we're middle age. Mm-hmm. Or lately it's kind of going even that other way. Like this one group that I'm in, I think this kid is like 20. And he dropped out of high school and he was in this whole thing with marketing and business and he sold his company and he's, you know, doing very well with this company that bought out his company and something different, all about social media. Hmm. because he's passionate about it, because it feels good to him, and talk about hands-on learning. So yeah. I mentioned that because it's starting young. Like, some people are just like, I know what I want, and I'm just going for it, like, at an age where you wouldn't really think about so much before.
You know, I think that the kids now, they're just growing up in, well, obviously, they're growing up in such a different space. They're so, I mean, when I was growing up, it felt like you were supposed to get that job that you would, it would last your whole lifetime. You'd get the gold watch or the crystal statue, and then you'd go home and start traveling, or, you know, whatever you're going to do in your retirement, take a painting. And kids aren't growing up in that world anymore. There's just more options. There's more variety. So hopefully they're able to take advantage of that and ask themselves what they really want and what they're passionate about, and then follow it.
Yeah.
Because yay.
Yeah. Because the possibilities really are, again, as cheesy it may sound, mm-hmm. they really are limitless as long as we get out of our way and just kind of let it happen and let those mistakes happen.
Well, and learn to listen to ourselves.
Yeah.
I have times in my head where it's like, oh, that's it. I mean, this voice just screams, yeah, that's the one, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to listen to those. If you don't, then yeah, go do something safe.
Yeah. So getting to the top of the hour, so we're going to round it off with, we've touched on it, but to kind of close it up of, so why is creativity important?
Well, for me, it's that thing about kids growing up in a world that, or even with COVID, we don't know what's around the corner. I grew up in a time when we thought we knew. We kind of thought, there's the yellow brick road. There it is. We see it. That's the path. There's one way. And we're now in a time and place, and it's always been this way, but it's more obvious now, that anything goes. And so to be able to show up open and creative and follow your passions is really good. Obviously it's good, but you know, it's especially for kids growing up now. I mean, if we can teach them how to be really creative people, then in, you know, 20, 30 years, when the planet and our societies don't look anything like they do now, they'll have the coping skills for that. They'll have the flexibility and the wherewithal and the curiosity and the desire to show up and be awesome.
I think all those words that you just said, connection, coping skills, flexibility, curiosity, mm-hmm. desire, those are huge. Those are all encompassing words that really do make up for so many, every situation in life. I mean, whether it's in the workspace or in your personal life, how you need to have all of those in order to be happy. Because yeah. if you're not flexible and everything has to be your way, then that's going to be a really hard ride.
It's probably not going to turn out so well. I don't know why, but I just flashed on this creativity in personal relationships. I mean, let's take sex, for instance. If you're not creative, you're going to get bored. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to get stale really fast. So it's play. It comes back to life being a simulation. Do you want to sit down and collect your $200 every time you pass go? Or do you want to go try buying properties and maybe become bankrupt? And do people still play Monopoly? Sorry, that was a Monopoly reference. This is like this antiquated game. I'm dating myself.
The reference is still good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, reference is still good.
You know, you can sit back and you can, you know, be a miser with your energy and your time and your expression, or you can just be open and see what happens. And there's going to be bumps and bruises either way, but wouldn't it be more fun to get bumps and bruises when you're having fun than when you're sitting on your couch being grouchy?
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That word play keeps coming up. I mean, in this conversation, it's so much about play. And I'm thinking about, you know, I guess just the kid thing. My kids are coming up. Mm-hmm. Like, my daughter's 18, so she is off now in a space that I can't control. she's with her friends at the beach for 3 days with no adults. But it's trust. And the reason why I bring this up is that she flat out has said to me in this whole thing of being independent and free thinkers and having a mind of their own, she'll say, "Mom, you realize that the more you say no to me, the more I'm going to do it, right?" Mm. And I'm like, "Yes, okay, I get it." But we need to have a conversation. She's like, "Okay, but I mean, just understand that that's kind of how the brain works." It's just interesting conversations.
Yeah. Well, I think if you did a good job raising your kids to know what is good for them and what isn't, then yeah, they're going to go push those envelopes and test stuff out. But if you did the best job that you could with what you were given, then they're going to be fine. You know,
it's all you can do. I mean, we were all that little baby at one time and grew up, yeah. And it goes back to all that we were saying, because we're getting to the top of the hour. It's trusting and playing. And what is time really?
Yeah.
We don't know where we're going to be. Mm-hmm.
One quick thing, just because we're talking about parenting. So when I was born, the common thing was that you shouldn't pick up your child when they're crying. You shouldn't comfort them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my mom, who was just with all her being wanted to pick me up and comfort me, didn't, because that's what they said you should do. So my whole life, I grew up getting this mixed mm-hmm. signal from her. And mm-hmm. and that that's not cool, you know? Mm-hmm. So it put a barrier between us. And follow your gut. Pick up your kid if they're crying and you want to, you know?
That whole Ferber thing, we tried it with our first, like a few months in. We're like, okay, we did the co-sleeping, whatever. So we're like, let's just try it and see. So my husband and I were outside the door as he was crying his lungs out. And we were both on the other side of the door. And we're like, no, we can't take it anymore. Oh. And we went in and he threw up all over his crib. And we were like, oh my God, this will never happen again. Mm. Never. Even to the point of when our daughter was born, like I was snuggling with her when she was a newborn. And the nurse came in and said, you can't do that. You have to have her in the crib, because you might roll over on her.
She's my daughter. So you're the nurse.
The legalities of it are, we can't have, you know, it's the legalities. But I said, but we're having a moment. And she's, but yeah, anyway, but I totally hear what you're saying.
The lesson of this hour is, don't let the law take away your happiness. Your happy moments. Savor them.
But truly, there is, I mean, so many words. So in this, I want you to tell people how they can connect with you, because so much of what we've talked about with capturing moments and curiosity and play, and please tell them how they can find out about you.
So obviously we're on Instagram and Facebook. The website is the hub of everything, though. It's www.createdrixcompass.com. And my name is Hayden Starbuck. So you can just Google me, Google that, Google everything, Google play, Google fun. But we've got a great newsletter. It comes out every week. That's full of prompts for creative prompts and inspiration. And my dog, the happiest creatures on earth are dogs, gives happiness advice if you want it, we have all sorts of stuff. So lots of goodies.
Oh my gosh. Well, Hayden, and she has the coolest name, doesn't she? Everybody, like,
I don't know. I think you and I could compete with that one. Yours is pretty cool.
No, thank you. But Hayden Starbuck, it's just very, so I just really appreciate you. It has been so wonderful to chat with you. And I just appreciate you taking this hour. So thank you so much.
Oh, ditto. This was fun.
So yeah, creative minds coming together.
Right? Is there anything better? Honestly, God, come on.
We are soul sisters.
Yes.
So
yay. Well, thank you.
space. Yeah. So people listening live and listening to the replay, this space is all about inspiring, sharing, and sharing stories and connections. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread the goodness and get the conversation going, because it is a positive thing needed in this world. So I appreciate you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this world, and look forward to talking to you really soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, P-H-I-L-L-Y.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shui, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice, everybody has an expression, and I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy, and I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.